Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you're going to continue to learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family are not only going to just survive, but thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries in Hiawassee, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us again. It really is. Now, where are we going during our 30-minute time together today? Well, first of all, we are going to talk about our Your Finances in Perilous Times radio seminar. We're going to take, first of all, just a quick look back to review our progress so far, and then you are going to discover the first of the six Bible verses that the Lord is using to form the foundation for all of our times together. Then, well, you're going to hear from our friend Dave Ramsey, as he talks to us about the three basic financial skills that you and everyone should have, but usually do not have. That's going to be interesting. And finally, we're going to hear from John Maxwell, where he is going to give us his formula for winning. John Maxwell's formula for winning in our Minute with Maxwell. Boy, this is going to be a great time together. Stay tuned, won't you? You're not going to want to miss a single minute of today's program. Now, as we start each time we are together, let me open us up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us again today. Please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to hear, to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you already know, during our radio seminar times together, you are going to learn what God has to say about how you are to take care of, how are you to best manage all of the material areas of your life, and, well, you're going to learn how to do that in ways that are going to be pleasing to Him. Now, how are you going to do all of that? By prayerfully learning to blend the spiritual and the financial in ways that you may never have experienced before. For example, you're not only going to learn to combine some key biblical financial principles along with some critical scriptural applications, but you're also going to take a good look at some Jewish history and some Jewish word pictures. You're going to learn some Greek. You're going to hear some true stories about challenges and lessons learned. Hey, listen, you're going to have some fun. Even on the radio, you're going to have some fun. And you're even going to get to know Rex, our Roman soldier friend, to see what it is in the world that he has to do with your personal finances. And all of this is going to be based upon, listen, this is all going to be based upon two key biblical principles, six critical Bible verses, seven important spiritual tools, plus you're going to see the important part the Holy Spirit has to play in your finances. Now, so far during our radio seminar times together over the past several weeks, you have put into place some great foundation stones upon which we're going to build all of the rest of our times together, right? That's where we started, foundation work. For example, first of all, well, I hope you remember this because this is so good. You discovered that you are unique within the body of Christ. You may not think so, but you really are. How so? Well, the data shows that fewer than 10% of the body of Christ is ever going to step out and take the time and make the effort and even the sacrifice to learn and apply what God's Word says about how to handle money. Only 10%. This means that more than 90% of the other folks in the body of Christ are sadly, well, they're never going to be able to truly enjoy financial freedom God's way. You see, you are unique within the body of Christ. And the second thing you've done to help lay a foundation for all of our times together and all of your material financial life from here on, well, you have responded to the same three questions God has asked folks down through the ages whoever wanted to be mightily used by Him in His kingdom. Now, do you remember what those three questions are? Well, question number one, will you show me your hand? Will you choose to show God your hand? Will you? Now here, God is asking you to open yourself up to Him. He is asking you to either get into a relationship with Him or to get back into a relationship with him? That's question number one. Will you show me your hand? Question number two, what is in your hand? I mean, what has God given you that he and you have to work with? What's in your hand? And finally, question number three, he asks you, will you give me your hand and what is in it? I mean, will you choose to combine your relationship with God and all that he is giving you in order to be a blessing not only to you and your family, but to others through you as well? You see, God's three questions will prove to be critically important to you in the weeks and years to come. Hey, listen, we're going to come back to them quite often. You're going to see. And finally, the third thing we've done to lay a foundation for all of our time together and all of your life from here on, well, you now know that, well, you now know something you've always suspected, all right? And that is when you step out to be mightily used by God, you're going to expect at least some of those steps are going to be somewhat, maybe even a lot, uncomfortable, right? You have learned that you are apt to become involved in what is called spiritual warfare. Now, you also have learned that the good news is that God wants to equip you to deal with that spiritual warfare and win every single time. That is why he gives you his spiritual financial armor to prayerfully pick up, put on, and use. And if you recall, we've seen that the first piece of that armor is the belt of truth. It's the logos. It is the written word of God, which happens to be the foundation for all of the other pieces of his armor, plus it is the first of the seven important spiritual tools that you're going to learn how to use during this radio seminar. Okay? So now that's where we've been. You're unique. You have responded to God's three questions, and well, you're learning or maybe even relearning to pick up, put on, and walk around in God's spiritual armor. And remember, God is the one giving you this Your Finances in Perilous Times radio seminar. It's coming from him. I just got to be the middleman, all right? See, you're not here by accident. God is calling you here so that he can make a difference in his kingdom. And by the way, this is not going to be casual radio listening, my friend. Oh, no. This is radio with a purpose. This is radio that God can use to give you and your family hope as he leads you and your family from Bible-based financial information into, well, what's called spiritual and financial lifestyle transformation. What he is giving you through these radio seminar times together is going to be based on over 35 years of Bible-based financial teaching, training, mentoring, and coaching as a Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey certified financial coach. Listen, you're going to be receiving the best from all of their seminars, all of their workshops, all of their Bible studies, and a whole lot more, and a whole lot more. Enough looking back. It's time to press forward. And by the way, I'm pretty sure that you haven't considered that you're going to have some homework as part of this radio seminar. Homework? You got to be kidding. Bob, you got on the radio? Yep, homework. Listen, if you really want to get the most of all that the Lord has for you, you need to become involved in the spiritual disciplines of hearing, reading, memorizing, meditating, and studying the six critical Bible verses that God has for you. Now, do you know, and I think this is so good. Listen to this. I didn't say this, wish I had. I didn't. Somebody did. It's really good. Listen. It's been said that when God's word becomes rooted in your soul, you bloom and grow and you become more like Jesus. I got to believe that's true according to what the Bible says. Now, on the other hand, if you've ever tried to memorize and present a speech, right? Or maybe a part in the play, you know, present it convincingly, word for word, word perfect, with purpose and feeling. Well, if you've ever done that, then you got to know that that is hard work. And you also know that if you don't review and practice regularly, even within a very short period of time, you're going to forget some or all of what you've memorized. Listen, memorizing passages from the Bible is no different. It is hard work. And it's going to take some time as you begin to learn and practice the process. However, the Bible teaches you that you can memorize. It's something that you can do. It also says that the work is worth the effort, and that scripture memory and meditation are two of the things that God expects from you. My friend, listen hard here. If you take just one thing away from your radio seminar experience, I pray that it is going to be the importance of scripture memory. I mean, I really do. Now, I know that financial freedom, God's way, it's critically important. I know that, and that's why we're here. Financial freedom, God's way, is critically important. That's true. But listen, discovering and living out what the Bible has to say about each and every other area of your life is critically important as well. And according to the Bible, one of the best ways to discover and start to live how God would have you to live is to begin to memorize what He has to say in His Word, in the Bible. So we are going to invest some time into scripture memory. Listen, this scripture memory is just another one of the important first steps along your road to personal financial freedom God's way. It really is. My friend, listen to me, okay? You already read and study the Bible anyway, right? Don't you? Sure you do. Well, then you are now ready for God's Word to take hold of your life, including your financial life, in order to shape you and to reshape you from the inside out. So what I want you to do is not to worry about or be fearful about the scripture memory, okay? Don't worry about it. What I want you to do is to enjoy this part of your journey down the road to financial freedom God's way, all right? So take a deep spiritual breath, okay, as we start to work with the first of the six critical Bible verses that lay the foundation for all of our times together and all of your life from this point forward. And the first verse, the very first verse that the Lord and you are going to work on is going to be Deuteronomy 8, 17, and 18. Now, what's going to happen is that you're first going to hear the verse. I'm going to read it for you. Then we're going to summarize both the content and the context of that verse. We're also going to talk just a little bit about how to memorize, meditate, and apply this verse to your life. Now, I recommend that you just listen, okay? Don't take notes, just listen. Then, sometime downstream, pretty quickly downstream, I'd suggest you go to our website at christianfinancialministries.org to re-listen to the program or even to read and study the transcript, because when you do that, what you're going to find is a special report that I'm going to have for you as well. Right after the transcript, there's going to be a special report on some hints on how to memorize, meditate, and apply. Okay, that's going to be on our website. So let's get started. Here is Deuteronomy 8, 17, and 18 from the New International Version of the Bible. All right, you ready? You may say to yourself, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Oh, my God. Goodness, can you begin to even right at the beginning to see how this verse has application for you and your situation and your family right now? And all you've done is read it. But what happens here is that these are Moses' words to his people, to the Israelites, just before they entered the promised land. See, he reminded them of their slavery in Egypt. He reminded them of all of the hard times in the desert. And he told them that in the promised land, all of those scarce times, man, they're going to turn into abundant times. Man, they were going to have houses and land and crops, and they're going to have plenty of food and clothing and wives and children and animals. But he cautioned them to remember that all that they would have and the ability and opportunity to produce all that they would have would all come from God. Therefore, Moses cautioned the people to put their hope and to put their trust and to put their confidence in God and not in their abilities, not in their opportunities, and certainly not in their provisions. They were to trust and have a relationship with the provider, not the provision. They would and should have the attitude of stewards or managers who not only serve the owner, but also partner with the owner in order to be able to serve others. In this way that they would learn to appreciate and not take for granted God's provisions and spiritual blessings. So that's what Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18 has to say and what it is all about. Now what I want to do is just to talk for a couple of minutes about scripture memory and meditation. And the first question that you may have is exactly, what is scripture memory? I mean, why is it important? What does it do? Well, first of all, scripture memory puts God's word into your mind, See, your goal should be to be able to repeat each verse, word perfect, from memory, to include the topic, the reference, the actual scripture, and then the reference again. That is scripture memory, puts God's word in your mind. Now, on the other hand, prayerful meditation, well, that puts God's word into your heart. You see, meditation, according to the Bible, is thinking with a purpose, okay? It's asking God to direct your thoughts. Your goal should be to relate each verse to your own unique circumstances. But listen, remember, don't confuse Bible knowledge with spiritual maturity. Don't even go there. You see, knowing more about the Bible does not automatically make you a better disciple of Jesus Christ. It does not. Remember that many of the Pharisees, man, they flat knew the Old Testament, yet they were spiritual phonies. The key to spiritual maturity is being able to apply God's word into your life. Now, how can you go about memorizing, meditating, and then applying these six verses, starting with the verse in Deuteronomy? Well, to be honest, that's got to be a whole class in and of itself. Now, you may already have and you may already use a great scripture memory, meditation, and application process. And if that's the case, if that's where you are, that's great. If it works for you, don't change it. If, however, you might need a refresher on how to memorize, meditate, and apply, a refresher on a good process to use, well, then what I want you to do is to simply go to this recording on our website, again, at christianfinancialministries.org. There you're going to be able to re-listen to and even print out the transcript, but more importantly, at the bottom of the transcript, you're going to find an article titled Scripture, Memory, and Meditations, Questions and Answers. Check it out. I think you're going to find it most helpful to see a good, thought through, prayed over, successful approach to scripture memory, meditation, and application. Okay? That's going to be on the website. Now remember, memorizing, meditating, and working to apply passages from the Bible. Remember, it's going to be hard work. And it's going to take you some time. Yes, it is. However, the Bible teaches you that you can and should memorize. And the Bible also says that the work that you invest is worth the effort. Listen, that memorization and meditation and application are three things God full well expects of you if you are to successfully make it along your personal road to financial freedom God's way. Oh, my goodness. All right. That's enough for now. Actually, that's probably more than enough from now. Are you getting the feeling that you've just taken a drink out of a fire hose? Well, that is why we give you all of the backup on the website. So remember to check out the website. Now, next time you're going to begin to take a look at our economy today. Okay. Now that's going to be a biblical look. It is not going to be a political look. Okay. You will get a good feel as to how our economy is impacting American families today, both Christian and non-Christian families, how it is impacting your family. Listen, I got to tell you, this is going to be a surprising and an interesting time together. So don't miss it. You know, Dave Ramsey has been giving out fantastic financial advice for a whole lot of years. I mean, it was my great pleasure to start working with Dave way back in 2004. And over the years, what I've discovered is, among other things, is that he has a fantastic knack of taking the complicated and making it simple. Now, you're going to see what I mean by that today as Dave Ramsey gives us the three financial skills everyone needs to have. Let's listen in. Here's Dave.
Today's question is from Ricky in Washington. He says, Dave, I just gone through my second beater car. Tired of being on a first-name basis with the AAA tow truck driver. I'm out of debt. I have my emergency fund saved, and I have the money to get a little nicer car. Having a hard time parting with it because I work so hard to save it. Can you talk a bit about the struggle people have with spending money, even when they have it to spend? Yeah, it's so hard to finally get some in savings, it's hard to release it, especially if you're wired as a saver. Now, I'm wired as a spender. My wife is wired as a saver. Usually we fall in one of two categories. I think you're wired as a saver. She gets great comfort from having that pile of money more than she would get great comfort from having a reliable car. Me, I'd rather have a reliable car. Pass the emergency fund. You're at the, you know, this is an emotional thing at this point. It's not a financial thing. It's a, I have the money, but I have trouble releasing it. And so what that says is you're just getting some, you know, it's a normal thing and it's not a bad thing, but it just says I get security from that extra money beyond my emergency fund. And I'll tell you this, I think it's something we all have to work at one of our money skills. There's really three basic money skills that you have. Spending properly, reasonably. Learning to enjoy money falls under spending. Learning to enjoy life with your money, which is kind of what your question's about. The second one's saving. You got to learn to save money for emergencies, for college, for retirement, to change your family tree, to build wealth. You got to learn to invest. You got to learn to ride the investment waves like we've had in the stock market in the last couple of weeks. Right? And giving. The power of generosity to completely change you when you learn to give as the natural rhythm of your life. It changes everything. So, giving, saving, and spending. Everyone has at least one of those that they struggle with. Mine is saving. I'm a spender. It's no trouble for me to enjoy money. It's also no trouble for me to give money. A lot of spenders, it's easy for them to be generous. Because the release of money doesn't bother us as much as it does a saver. But I'm weak at saving, and that's why God makes me teach this every day. I'm no longer weak at saving, but it wasn't my natural default. I had to intellectually decide to have an act of my will to save and invest. And really what drove me to do that as a spender giver is that I would have more to spend and give if I built more wealth. I can spend more and give more. And that's my only reason for saving. It's not because I just love saving money. I still don't to this day. It's not. So you're on the other side of this, Ricky, is what we're saying. You don't enjoy spending. We don't know about giving. You didn't address that in your thing. Sometimes I can get spenders or savers like this to turn loose of their money first by increasing their giving. And then that kind of gives them permission to also enjoy the money themselves. But it would be a shame to save and work and not enjoy some of your money. And one of the things you should enjoy is a reliable vehicle. And you don't have a reliable vehicle. You've been doing beaters. And so, you need to go buy the car. You already knew that. You weren't asking about that, but you already knew that. But maybe also take a little bit of that money and give it. Find some place to be generous at your church, or find a couple that's struggling, or a single mom that didn't pay her light bill for a year, or whatever. But find something to do, because there's something about giving that kind of then gives you permission down inside your spirit to also enjoy money. Because money's fun if you got some. You ought to enjoy it. You ought to enjoy some nice things. Now, if that's all you do and you don't save and you don't give, then you're just a shallow twerp, right? But, you know, to assume that just because someone has the ability to enjoy money means that they're greedy or shallow, that's just bogus. And the way you can tell is what percentage of their financial situation is going towards stuff for them. And if all the money you make is going to buy you crap, then you're out of balance, you know? But if you're giving a percentage of your income, and you're investing a good percentage of your income, and you're enjoying some of your income on lifestyle purchases, travel, cars, clothes, whatever it is, then that's in balance once you're at baby step 3 and beyond. And that's where Ricky is. But it's a really good question, Ricky. It's a good question for me to stop and just kind of rant on or vent on for a second here, teach on for a second. Because sometimes people think, well, you know, no one should ever have a car like that. What would anyone need a house like that for? Now, I've got a friend that's worth about $3 billion. Now, a billion is 1,000 million. He has 3,000 million. He has 3,000 million. He spent $6 million on his house. And people sent him hate mail. No one should ever have a house like that. His house, as a percentage of his net worth and his income, is like you going through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A and buying a biscuit. It didn't affect his life one iota to spend $6 million on a house. As a matter of fact, that's a very conservative house for someone who has $3 billion.
So, what are the three basic skills that all of us need to have? We need to be able to spend, save, and give in ways that are pleasing to God. And the key is balance. Now let's start to wrap up our time together today with one of the highlights, really, of all of our times together. Let's spend another minute with Maxwell, as John Maxwell gives us his thoughts on winning. You are just about to discover John Maxwell's formula for winning.
Well, everybody likes to win, so the word winning is our word today on Minute with Maxwell. I think we all like to win. I'm not sure we all like the preparation that it takes to be a winner. John Wooden, my mentor, who was the incredible coach for the UCLA Bruins when they won 10 national championships, Sports Illustrated said he was the greatest coach of the last century. I asked him one day, I said, "Coach, what do you miss most about coaching?" He said, "The practices." "Isn't it interesting?" I said, "You not the games?" He said, No. He said, "Our practice determined how we played the game." He said, "By the time the game day came, I just sat there on the bench with my rolled up program in my hand and kind of laid back and let my team play." He said, "We prepared for that game. We practiced for that game." He said, I missed the practices. I missed the process of doing what we needed to do so that we could get to where we needed to go." And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, what an incredible formula for winning. What an incredible formula for success. Anybody can be good once in a while. You got to really practice if you want to win all the time. John Wooden knew that practice was the key to winning.
And thank you, John Maxwell. Listen, my friend, we are flat out of time, but I want to make sure that we spend the time to close in prayer. Father, I thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We will see you next time for Financial Freedom God's Way Radio.